This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What's the tip?
Big boy in a fifth.
Forget it. The fifth goes off at three. We going to the track?
You're listening to Race Day at Fairmont Park on lineupmedia.fm.
And it off.
With a different story on every face.
I'm going to Hawaii! I'm going to Hawaii!
It's falling back.
I'm not going to Hawaii!
Will they make it through?
I like the two horse. It's got front wraps.
Big money on the four horse.
I like the six. That's the horse. That's it.
I always bet on five.
The number one horse.
I like the four. Number four. Four.
I like the six.
I like the four horse.
And you lay your money down when you cross the line.
Here comes the champ.
I mean it. You are the champ. Believe me, you got more guts than you got sense. I love it.
Now your host, Jono Kabinjian.
Welcome back, race fans, here at FairmontParkPodcast.com. And Mike, what do you say, babe?
Well, just to kind of recover from the weekend that we had.
Yeah, definitely recovering after this weekend. I tell you what, folks, I thought I was off to a great start, Mike. I mean, the first race, I picked every horse in order, and I'm thinking, wow. This is going to be the day I walk on water.
Yep.
And sure enough, the horse racing god said, no, we're going to humble you back again.
You know, it's just like we've talked about these speed horses in the past. You know, they get to the front, they're hard to beat.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they get their tongue over the bit. And you and I both, I think, after the first race, we swallowed a bit and got a good kick in the pants.
I mean, Mike, I picked everyone in that order. I've never done that before. 2, 3, 6, 4, 5, 1.
Yeah, that was a good pick. There's no doubt about that. The first time starter of Tom Doris's didn't let us down. She ran just like she'd been training and
won by 8 lengths.
Yeah, and won she did that pretty lengths. Easy too.
Yeah, and the other usual suspect in this race was the Duchess Lala.
Right,
and that went off at 3.5 to 1. Matter of fact, the first horse almost went off at 3 to 1 itself.
Remember, she was 6 to 1 in the morning line, and we both kind of figured that she'd go down from there.
The workouts were solid, weren't they?
Yeah, they were solid.
Everything was centered right around her, and all the dots connected that way. For third place spot here, we had the 6-horse Sweetie Darling. And that went off at close to 3 to 1 as well.
Yeah, the Turfway Park shipper, she didn't let her betters down either. She, even though she ran third, if you put them three favorites in the trifecta, there was another first-time starter in there, John Cox trained, Uncle Tommy. She was a little nervous in the paddock and in the post-parade and hesitated just slightly at the start and kind of cost her the race. But she might be somebody to look out for the next time she runs with a race underneath her belt.
Yeah, I really like to see horses coming back off some sort of a problem they had. I look at those with a little bit more respect than horses that had no excuse.
Right.
So definitely that's something to look at there, Mike. Was the 4-horse, that was Wainwright horse, wasn't it?
Yes, Baron 8, yeah.
And this thing was going off at, I think, 5 to 2 when the morning line was, right?
Yeah, it was. It was the morning line favorite, I think, off her past performances. But Shaney, the 2-horse, the winner of the race, and Uncle Tommy, they both showed some good work. So a lot of that money that was bet on them was backside money, people who'd seen them train and work. And Marinade on paper didn't look like an overwhelming favorite, but you've got to make somebody the favorite. And Bobby, when he does the morning line, she had the most to show for it, as well as Duchess Lala. I think she might have been the second choice, or I mean, she might have been even the morning line favorite. Right. But she's been beaten. Both them horses have been beat enough times. They've showed that they're not really wanting to win. So a lot of times they'll go to the first time starters if their works look good.
Of course, of course, and especially when it's coming from a good camp like Doris. And you had a live jockey on it as well, Victor Santiago. The payouts on this one, $2 exacta. 2-3 paid $24. great price on that. 50-cent try, 236, $14.30, and the 10-cent super, 2364, $6.54.
Yeah, and I'm going to give a shout-out to the fans that was at the racetrack Tuesday. They had a big crowd again. Our crowds this year is just unbelievable. They're betting some money and buying a lot of hot dogs and the beer and everything else and the sodas. The kids are having a good time out on the apron watching the horses and coming to the paddock. And if you haven't been there yet, it would be a great time to come Saturday evening. We got a good card Saturday. We'll go over it later, and looking forward to seeing people out there.
Oh, no question about it. And you know what? I'm just going to throw this out there. I think this show might be doing something to that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I think we got some impact on that. Let's move on to race number two here, my friends. Race number two is a claiming, 3,200 claiming, and it's a 1 mile on dirt. Well, everything's on dirt at Fairmount Park. What'd you see on this one, Mike? This one was a shocker. I had this one at dead last.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it they do surprise us.
How do you let this horse get out there like that and not even challenge?
Well, he was coming off sprints, and we had a jockey, first time he'd ever rode in a race. Javier Diego, want to congratulate him on his first winner with his first mount, which you don't see that very
unbelievable
often.
I love to have him on our show, by the way.
Right,
your first mount, he had to even prove to the judges that he can run.
Right. Yeah, and had to go through a lengthy deal trying to get licensed and everything. It was kind of a long, drawn-out process for him, but he got everything done. He got all of his T's crossed.
We've got to have him
dotted.
On.
He's been a gallop boy there, exercise rider for the past several years. Scotty Becker, Steve Manley, some of these other trainers has been putting him on horses in the morning that he's been breezing. He's breezed a lot of horses with Santiago out of the gates, from the poles. He's done a good job. They signed his license. The jockeys approved him. The starter, Kelly Mulvaney, gave him the okay. The stewards gave him the okay. And Jim Childress put him on a horse that does nothing but sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but sprint. And he was in going a mile, and he broke in front and just kept right on going. The kid did a tremendous job, and he didn't even get to use a whip.
No.
The first two races that they ride, they can't use a whip.
Oh, and I did not know that.
Yeah, and he did a really good job. I'm really
Why is that, Mike?
Well, I guess they want both hands on the reins at all times, and I don't know exactly how the rule reads, but it's like that in Illinois. You cannot use a whip for your first two races, and then
what if you have a horse that responds to the whip? I mean,
you don't put him on it. You don't want him to ride that horse. You want some, you know, if you've got a horse that needs the whip,
right?
That's
really a disadvantage than being in the first two races.
You can look at it two different ways, you know. I think it's very, very overrated. There's a gentleman that rode at Fairmount Park for decades that won over 7,000 races, and he hardly ever used a whip. He always carried it. David Gall, you might remember him.
Oh, of course.
And he always got a lot out of his horses without using a whip, and it's very much overused, I think. I think it's overrated as well.
Okay. All right. In this particular race, so let's go back to the winner here. You set a fraction here. You're five lengths in front, 4-4-2. But you know what? The times weren't that drawn out either. I mean, we're looking at 49-20, 114, 127. He's not setting a blistering pace to have him wear down. I just didn't understand how the pack just let him go like that and not even come up to him.
Well, they was probably thinking like everybody else. The other riders in the room, you know, they study them programs every day when they go in. They see this horse hasn't run long. He was out. They figured he'd be in front by looking at his, you know, past performances coming
right
off them sprints. I'm sure they was all expecting him to start backing up at any point.
How could he back up, though, when the fractions aren't that fast?
Well, 114 and two-fifths going three-quarters of a mile, that's not a slow time at Fairmount. You know, when they're going a mile, that's not that slow.
Okay.
So he wasn't exactly walking up front. And he just, you know,
he wasn't walking, but he may have been jogging. I just thought that they would have started putting a little bit of pressure on him. And when they did, it was like, hey, you guys have run out of real estate.
Right.
This horse really is going to win this.
Yeah. Well, when we scroll down to the next few races and we see another mile race, we'll compare fractions and see if he maybe was walking, you know?
Sure. Okay. So the winner on that race was D-Zip, and congratulations to Javier Diego, our first timer. Maybe that's he's found his thing here.
Yeah, let's hope so.
And the 7-horse Beefy by Estillion Brook, and that went off at 6-1. And number 2 Prince Neff had the show ticket here. Obviously the crowd favorite,
right?
Close to 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what the payoffs on this one was. The $2 exacta, $1,737. 50-cent try, $172, $193. $1 daily double, 2-1, $113. And a 10-cent super. Man, I thought this would be a little bit more than $123. We had a 1726 paid $123.04.
Yeah, a lot of people wheeled the two.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to race number 3 here. Race number 3, we've got a 6-furlong race, and this is going, what's the price? Oh, claiming price of $3,200. So that's what we got on this one. And what do you think about this one, Mike? We ended up with 3.
Bo Zippity.
Now, why couldn't they put B-O-W Zippity? That could be B-O. All right, whatever. B-O Zippity. And that was Giles right there, Giles, and went off at 7-1. Then we had number 6, Wall Street Josh. Balon was on this one, and this went off at 3-1. And the 7, Jesus Warrior, and that went off at 2-1. And, you know, I'm running out of patience with this Jesus Warrior, too.
Yeah, well, you know, that horse, he ran a big race last time. He runs second. Looked like he was coming back into his old form. He's a little bit better poly track horse. He's never run that great at Fairmont if you throw out the track record holder, and I know that sounds silly to say, but he did set a 5.5-furlong track record a couple of years ago when the track was lightning fast one evening. But Bo Zippity, he figured he was a big underlay at 7-1 here. This horse figured, I think I picked him last week to win. Wall Street Josh, that was, I think that was an Indiana Downs shipper that come in. He looked pretty good on paper, even though he was running for 5,000 at Indiana Grand for state breds. He figured in this spot, which he runs second. And, you know, like you said, Jesuit Warrior run third. The big disappointment in this race was the horse that finished last, Western Country.
Oh, I had him on top.
He went off the heavy favorite. Santiago rode the horse. He'd been having some gate issues as far as leaving the gate. He was kind of getting left. Sometimes these old horses decide it's time to hang it up, and I think Mr. Western Country's made that decision, and we might not see him at the races again.
Now, is this some inside scoop you heard or what?
It's scoop. I don't know how inside you want to call it.
Okay, all right.
You know, sometimes you're better off. It's not a soundness problem. The horse is healthy and everything, but he's been around for a while, and the trainer, Steve Manley, has decided that he's going to retire him.
He's going to retire him. Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, on this race, the favorite didn't do anything whatsoever, and the price is not bad again. A 7-1 horse on top. Let's see what it paid off on this one. $2 exact, $3,662. Not a bad hit at all. The 367 on a 50-cent try, $45.80. The 10-cent super, 3671, $32.41. I would think it'd be a little bit more with the favorite running dead last.
You know, that exact is unbelievably high.
Unbelievable high. I know. I was thinking the same thing there, because you've got
$7 horse and a $3 horse.
Right. 62.
That paid a little over double what it looked like it should pay.
And daily double, $280 on this one. Nice one.
Yes,
nice
it
one.
Was.
And the pick three here, 213, $293. Now that's a pick three here. 50-cent pick three. All right, let's move on to race number 3. Before we go to race number 3, hey, folks, you guys can find us here on FairmontParkPodcast.com all together. And you could also find us on lineupmedia.fm. We've got some great shows for you guys out there. Once you get done with our show, you can tune in to lineupmedia.fm. We've got over 65 shows now on lineupmedia.fm to where you could download and check that out. And if you're going to download, go to Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, Podbeam, whatever it takes. But these are the ones that you just subscribe and bingo, you're in, and you don't have to worry about doing all that again. You just get it on your phone, and you could download it anytime. Moving on to the fourth race here. This is a 3,200 claiming tag, and this is going 6 furlongs. And we had the number 3 horse here, Hot Rod Stick by Arietta. Jesus, 20-1, 21-1 basically on this one.
Right.
And the 6 horse, I'm still trying to get over it. The 6 horse, R. Stewart by Lopez, and that went off at 4-1. And your 4 horse, Highway 54. I think you were kind of high on that one, Mike. And that went off at close to 4.5-1 on that. So, a little explaining to do on this?
Bombs away.
Bombs away.
Yeah, sometimes you got to tip your hat and just move on.
Yeah. Well, you know what? How do you tip your hat off that easy, though? Because, you know what? On form, this horse
Well, I liked Highway 54 in here, right?
Yeah.
Who did you like?
I liked Zebra's Dancer. I wrote that Zebra's Dancer.
Yeah, so well, we was 3rd and 4th.
Yeah, but we can't be 3rd and 4th with a horse that went off with less than a dollar here. We're looking at my horse that was six to five, or
at least the public's listening.
No, 3 to 5.
The public's listening to you. You know, went off at 60 cents on a dollar. I went off. Nobody's listening to me. He went off at 4.5-1.
Well, that's not bad either. I'll take the 4.5 over to 60 cent any day. But Hot Rod Stick, I don't know what to make of that. Looked for a seam, took it in the stretch, and it was 5th place, and then it made a big move and won it.
Yeah,
by
the
neck.
The line doesn't show it there either, but he was checked twice at the 5/16 pole and still had enough to come up the inside and won the race. So
yeah, well, shout out to Arietta on that one.
Yeah, congratulations to the connections.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. Let's move on, and let's pay the prices.
Payoffs.
Yeah, let's exact 3-6 on the $2 exact, $386.80. Wow. A trifecta, 50 cent, or 3-6-4, $227.75. $1 daily double, 3-3, $188.50. Why can't I just go up to the window and go, yes, for this fourth race here, I'd like to make a $50 daily double, 3-3, race number 3.
Oh, you could have done it.
Yeah, I could have done it.
Yeah.
50 cent pick 3 here, my friends. 1-3-3. I don't see the $51.05. I guess people weren't playing in the pool on that one, and that only paid $51. And a 10 cent super, 3-6-4-1, $158.25. Someone did play that.
Yes, they did.
All right, we just move on here. Just move on. Amnesia.
It's what you got to have.
101 here, Amnesia. Race number 5, we got a 6-furlong race here, claiming price $4,000. And the horse I counted out, because I picked it every race, every time it's been out there, and I didn't buy into it this time, the 10 horse, Jaquero, whatever, made me lose this one. I didn't buy into it, Mike, and I think you did. I think you gave it one more shot.
I used him for second. I picked the horse that runs second on top, Many Colors. So
right. We had Jaquero that ran, won the race, the 10 horse here. I didn't think he was going to get over like that, and odds went off at 3.5-1 there. And the horse I picked as well, Benny Colors, the 8 horse, and odds on favorite here, let down the masses, went off at $150, $1.50, so... 1.5-1 on that, and 5 Graduate Cat Molina, Oh, not a bad ride by him. 18-1 on this one. So long shots are making a run to the wire that day, didn't they?
Yeah, you could have made some money if you'd had to ride numbers. As simple as that.
Anything on this one? How about your jockey here? People didn't buy into that one. He went off at 15-1.
Yeah, and that was a horse. He looked like he should have been 15-1, and I think he was on the morning line. So ran about where he was picked to run.
Okay. Congrats to Bobby on that one, finally getting one of these lines right. No, I could hear him now. $2 exact at 10-8 paid $27. The 50-cent try, 10-8-5, $74.85. And the 10-cent super, 10-8-5-6. Now, look at this 10-cent super paying that much. And we had long balls coming in other races not paying that much.
Yeah, no, it don't make any sense.
Doesn't make sense at all. $127.75 on that and $1 daily double, $310, $113. And the 50-cent pick three, 3-3-10, $218.90.
That was good.
A lot of money. A lot of money floating out at Fairmont Park right now. Race number six, we've got a 1 mile, and this is a claiming price of $4,000. All right, now, this was what we were talking about. The fractions on this one, 48-20.
Okay, the last, now this, we was talking about the horse in the second race, D-Zip.
That stole the show.
He went 49-1.
All right.
So and 4.5 lengths difference. 14-2 for the three quarters. They went 14-2.
And the 128.80?
I didn't write the 7/8 fraction down, but I think it was 129.
Okay.
And the final time was 142.80. And the final time in this race was 140.80.
140.80?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That contradicts all what I was thinking then.
Right.
All right, we'll check the other 1 mile or two then. Maybe we're still talking horse. But you know what? 142 is pretty slow too.
Yeah, it is slow.
Yeah.
It's slow.
All right, so this one right here, we've got a two-horse Ranger Sam. And I think I had Ranger Sam on this one. And this went off at, I guess, close to 4-1. And that was Bush. Riding now. Any info on Bush?
Yeah, he's a elderly rider from the East Coast. He's rode for years at Tampa. He rides currently at Belterra full time. Every once in a while, he'll ship out to Presque Isle in Pennsylvania. He comes in every other Tuesday or so and rides a few horses. He's won over 3,000 races in his career. So
you're kidding.
Vernon's been around a while and has done a good job.
Okay. So he's a respectable rider, though.
Yes.
We had the four-horse Sugar Vision. And that was Giles.
Mm-hmm.
And that went off at 10.5-1. And the 8-horse here, Electric Cat Balon at the helm there. And that went off at 17, close to 18-1 there. What did you see in this one, Mike?
Electric Cat went to the lead. If you look at the half-mile time, 48-1, a little fast, but there again, there's a horse coming off a sprint and running a mile. He got the lead. He had to battle for it, actually, a little bit. He was only ahead in front at the half-mile pole. Probably needed this race going a mile. I look for him to be tightened up a little better for the next time that Trainer Durham decides to put him in for the Route of Ground race. Ranger Sam ran a big race. He figured in there. He looked like a horse that could win it. The disappointment was the bottom horse, Just Jim. And I picked
him. Oh, wait
him.
A minute. I got to apologize. That was the horse I had, Just Jim.
Well, I wouldn't never come back and admitted it.
Yeah, that was mine.
No,
that
I did. Mine. I did pick him. And,
you know,
after I picked the horse, and it's easy to say after the fact, but the horse had only run one good race on the dirt. He'd been running on the turf. And the race that he won on the dirt was scheduled, I think, for the turf, and they moved it off, put it on the dirt, and it was a wet seal racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
And this horse did not like the footing at Fairmont that day, and he just never, ever picked a bit up.
Well, that'll come back to bite you. Remember that, folks. These are little tips here that you guys could take full advantage of. I mean, does it make that much of a difference when they hop off a turf to get on dirt and dirt to turf?
It makes a, you know, it depends on the horse. I mean, we've, well, one of our local trainers there, Scott Becker, that trains for Mr. Stirrett's, he's got a horse that I think they claimed 5 years ago for $80,000, and he's turf and poly track. He's won graded stake races on the turf and I think maybe on the poly. He's got beat at Fairmont. He's got beat at Fairmont Park. Mm-hmm. He's just not a dirt horse. And I'm not saying Just Jim is a hoagie by any means, but,
right,
you know, if a horse doesn't like the dirt, he's not going to run near as good on the dirt as he does the turf.
Can't they adjust the shoes to?
Well, they put different shoes on, and but still, I mean, they're bred for one thing or the other. And
I mean, if you've got a true turf
horse, if you've got a true turf horse, most of them doesn't like the dirt.
Right.
Now they'll adjust better to the poly.
Right.
Than they will the dirt, but they just don't like running on the loose, cuppy surface.
Amazing. All right, let's move on to race. Well, I tell you what, we didn't give the payouts there. $2 exacta, 2-4, $114.60, the 50-cent try, 248. This is not a bad payoff at all.
No.
285.80? Are you kidding me?
That's a good payoff.
What 10 cents super. Look at this, Mike. Let's go back to this. I mean, okay, you had the first one here near 4-1,
mm-hmm.
10.5-1, and 18-1. And okay, well, yeah, these are some big-time numbers here. 2486 paid $426 on a 10-cent super.
That was fantastic.
Wow. Daily double 10-2, $26.60. And the 50-cent pick 3, 3-10-2. $429.20. Not a bad payoff at all, my friends.
No, it's not.
Let's move on to race number 7 here. Race number 7 is a claiming race, a claiming price of $4,000. This is going 6 furlong. And what do we have on this one, Mike?
I think I went with the inside horse, Summy Baby. She run third. She was a little nervous behind the gate. They had trouble loading her. No excuses that way, though. I mean, she just got outrun, got caught up in a little bit of a speed duel on the front end. And the horse I think you liked, if I'm not mistaken, I know you liked Brooke Stillion on this day, and I think this was her second winner. And congratulations to Brooke with number 7, Infinitive.
Right. Yeah, I did like her on this one. And you know what? Just to clear the air again, for anyone that said, you know, change jockeys and all that, I got a lot of confidence in this jockey riding. So, mm-hmm. You know, I just felt that the chemistry wasn't there with that one horse. And it still may be, but I just thought that maybe a change here, change there, whatever it is, could maybe uplift
right.
that horse too.
Sure.
And I had Brooke in this one, and she came through with Infinitive. And this went off as the crowd favorite here. At 1.5-1, and the 5-horse Crooked Lady went off at 10-1, and the 1-horse Summy Baby, I was really tuned into this exacta. I really thought it was going to be a 1-7-7-1 on here.
Yeah.
I had the 7 on top, followed by the 1.
And the 1-horse Summy Baby was claimed, I believe, too, out of this race.
All right, we'll get to that. And I guess we'll throw the 4 spot there, too. Babe the Bull went off at 4.5-1. And payoffs on this one, 7-5, $50.80 on the $2. 50-cent try, 7-5-1, $36.40. The Superfecta was 7-5-1-6, and that paid $25.55. The $1 Daily Double, 2-7. $12.10. That's one thing, Mike, I want you to always look at. 2772.
And the 3. Remember you said the 3 before, too. The 3 numbers you said.
Yeah,
you picked
it always seems like those two attract each other somehow, some way.
Yeah.
$1 Daily Double, 2-7, $12.10. And the 50-cent pick 3, well, the screen went dead there for a second. Let's check this out. 50-cent pick 3, 10-2-4. With the 7-9, and that was $43, and just $43. And the 50 Cent pick four, 310-24. Look at this one.
There you go.
Boom. $1,796.90. That was a 310-24 and 7-9 for a constellation and all that. But that's what we had, my friends. Big time payoffs here.
Yes, they was. And that's with a favorite winning the last leg, too.
Yeah. And let's see here. You were talking about a tag, a claim here.
Yeah, scroll up to scroll,
here we go. Claimed horse, Summy Baby, new trainer, Manuel Francisco Maita.
Mata.
Mm-hmm. And
who was the new owner?
New owner? You would ask me that, wouldn't you? Aquila Negra Racing, LLC.
There you go.
Hey, Mike, a little shout-out to our sponsors out there, Steve Flowers and Emily. These two are outrageously good. They take care of you mortgage-wise. Supreme Lending, 618-655-0483. Steve makes it his personal pride, his business, to take care of us right now with all the mortgage rates. And mortgage rates are kind of dropping down right now. You can still find twos and time to get a hold of Steve and get this thing taken care of. If you're looking to refinance or looking to buy a house, and you know what? There's so many times when you're just not sure of who you can go to, who you can turn to on something this major. I mean, you're looking at your wife and she's asking questions to you and you don't have the answers. Steve's got the answer. Steve Flowers is the man here, folks. 618-655-0483. I swear to you, he took care of me and I know he'll take care of you just like he took care of me as a longtime buddy of his. And our other new sponsor here is Tor Herman Law Office, 888-508-6752. You know what? Just like the case of the Supreme Lending here, there's people you can trust, and this is the type of guy that you can trust, Tor Herman's Law Office. $3 billion in settlements, my friends, verdicts, negotiated settlements. These guys really do a lot for you. They work hard. And Tor Herman's Law Office, I know personally these people, and they are good people. They make things happen. Whatever case you have out there, give them a call at 888-508-6752. They'll make things right for you. They'll see if they can work with you. It doesn't hurt to give them a shout. Also, you can find them at torhermanlaw.com. That's TorHermanLaw.com, my friends. All right, folks, we're going on to our Fairmount Park racing for this coming Saturday, and I'm kind of excited about this. You know what, Mike? I got to tell you, man. I've run my horses at Kentucky and up north, Aqueduct, down south in Gulfstream Park when I had horses. And there was this one at Ellis Park.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Jim
McNerney.
Yeah, that was the guy, and he did such a great call, man.
Yeah.
And I talked to you, and I think you said we could have him on the show.
Yeah, he's going to be with us Monday by the telephone.
You got him for this Monday?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Man, you know what? That's got to be a tough gig. You see me hacking up names left and right here.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, he just become he's still an agent. He calls races at Turfway Park in the winter. He's getting ready to kick off the Ellis Park meet Saturday. He's done Ellis Park for the last 4 or 5 years, and he's even went to the fairgrounds and called some quarter horse races. I think he went down there a whole meet here a couple of years
How
ago.
How do you call a quarter horse? That's got to be like an auction.
It's a special talent. You know, people that don't think so, just try it. You're at home watching the races, you know, just try it to yourself, and it's very easy to get things confused. But Jim does a great job, and he's been an agent for some real good riders. He's had some real good riders in the past at Indiana and Kentucky. He's had leading rider Rodney Prescott, Leandro Goncalves, Victor Lebrun, Orlando Mojica, Albin Jimenez, and he's now currently got Katie Clawson over at Indiana Downs, and she's a leading rider right now at that meet. And also he's got Malcolm Franklin that's won over 4 or 5,000 races.
So. Well, we're gonna
I'm sorry, not Malcolm Franklin, DeSean Parker.
I got you. DeSean Parker was big at Mountaineer.
Yes,
too.
And started riding here at Fairmont.
No kidding.
Yes.
I never knew that.
Yep.
I never knew that. Well, we'll definitely, you said we got him?
Yeah.
We got him for sure.
He'll be on Monday.
Excellent. So we'll have him on, and I've got a I'd probably have questions like how he adjusts to calling a race and seeing his jockey,
sitting
four or five back, and not
be biased,
and not partaking in just watching him now. He's got to focus in on the front horses.
Yeah, and I know Jimmy real well, and he's very excitable. When he, when I was working with him in Indiana at Hoosier Park in Indiana Downs, I mean, when his riders are riding in a race, which is usually he's got two in every race, he gets very excited and pumped up. And to be able to call a race and be calm and still inside, I know how he's cheering his own riders on, but he doesn't make that public. You know, he doesn't know it.
I would definitely screw the pooch on that. I would be really loud. I'd be like, why can't he move up? Oh, we're going back to the race here. God, get the whip out on him, will you? All right. So we've got a race day here, July 1st.
Yes.
July 1st racing. We're already in July, man.
I know. Almost halfway over. I think this will be day number 18 of the meet.
Wow. Wow. July 1st. And we're going to start the show off here with a 330-yard sprint like we did the last race card here. And this is an optional claiming 10,000. And how many horses we got in here?
Six horse field.
So you know what? They're not going to be all bunched up. You got some separation here. What's your call on this, Mike?
Well, like I said last time, we had quarter horse races. These are the hardest things in the world for me to pick. But
not me. I banged it out last time.
I'm going to go toward the outside with the five. Big Bad Ivory for trainer Bill Griffin. He does an excellent job with his quarter horses. Uriel Lopez is his go-to rider this year. And Uriel's done very well in the past on quarter horses. I look for them to get the job done. And for second, I use number five, Running Red Baron.
Well, was that number five or number four?
Number four, I'm sorry. Red Baron for trainer Mata. Francisco Giles is the rider. And for third, I went toward the extreme inside, March Sunflower. Another Mata trainee, and this one is ridden today by Victor Balon.
Well, there's no surprise here. I think I followed suit here, my friend. On my green sheet, I've got Big Bad Ivory, and last start beaten favorite comes through today. I'm really buying into that, and I like the four horse here. Didn't lose by much at all, and I think right now you'll find do you put much stock into when you see on quarter horses changing of barns? Because it seems like they change barns a lot more than regular thoroughbred horses.
Not a lot, especially here, because a lot of these trainers here are program trainers. A lot of these people ship in, and what I watch for here at Fairmont Park is the horses that's been fairly successful at like Oklahoma and Nebraska, Texas.
So that's what you look for. So the RPs.
Yes, the RP horses. The
RP horses are something to look for.
Usually a little stiffer competition there than they are in Illinois.
Yeah. But I guess if you're really wanting, how about Los Alamos? If you get
very few, you should
very
see
few. I've seen them, though.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen them at Fairmont.
They've run in the past.
Yeah,
at
in
Los
the past,
Alamos,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think with this horse here, I really like Running Red Baron as my second place horse, and my third place horse. Like I said, I'm going with your horse on this one too. What was that?
The one, March
Sunflower. The one. Yeah, I don't think the one's gonna feel a lot of pressure with a full. You know, this isn't a 10 horse field.
Right.
I think the one can adjust to the four or five horses here. So I like the one horse coming in third, and that's March Sunflower.
Yep.
That's what we have. Race number two here, we've got a 4.5 furlong maiden special weight. 9,000 is the purse, and what do we have here, Mike?
We've got two-year-olds. I think this is our first two-year-old race of the meet.
Oh, really?
Yep.
All right. Let's
and
go
I have no
that.
Idea how to pronounce the one horse's name, but that's who I'm going with. You got any guesses how
the
to pronounce
The one horse?
That?
Yeah, come to me, huh? It's Jalabs. Jalabs.
Okay, but his second name is Winner. So
yeah.
That's who I'm going with. Trainer Becker, Victor Santiago. I think gets the job done. Usually I don't like the rail, but for some reason going 4.5, if the horse breaks good, I think it's a tremendous advantage because you've got that short run into the first turn. And I look for him to be getting and going right out of the gate. I just think this horse will get the job done. For second, I use the 2-horse, Itching for Attack. Trainer Childress went with Francisco Giles. Mr. Childress has got a bunch of 2-year-olds, and they've been training all spring, and he's doing a good job with them. They all look like they're ready to go, so look for this horse to be pretty tough. And for third, I went with the other Childress trainee, number 5, Kingsbury Dream. Jim Childers and Juan Molina Jr.
Well, you know what? I have on this one, I went with the 2-horse on top. I like the fact that we're looking at a horse here that you've got some wins out of the sire side. You've got some wins out of the dam side, first-timers. They paid $1,000 for this horse. Let me see what else I found on this race that stood out with me here. Let me get rid of this here. If I could just get that out of there. All right, we're looking at, I liked what I seen here with ran in a maiden special weight last time out this year at Churchill Downs mm-hmm. for $46,700. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, I felt that the barn, the camp, everything, all the connections here, thought they had something special when they put this horse in for. That's a tough race, Mike. That's not a gimme right there at all.
No.
And so I'm buying into the fact that this horse was pretty healthy. Everything was, and this is this year. So I'm looking at this, and this last month actually June 8th. So I think the second time around, plus it had an awful start in that last race. It broke slow, no factor. And you know what? You tie the horse up and, you don't work it to death for 6th or 5th place. That's why I'm buying the 2-horse here. I went with your 1-horse. I took that for my 2nd place with Victor Santiago on it. I don't know much about the breeding here with the Sturris camp. Do they keep everything inside the camp? Do they, I know it's a big operation. Do they even breed there too?
Oh, yeah, they have, I think they have 2 stallions. This in particular horse here, I absolutely know nothing about. I know he's a real good-looking horse. I know I've seen him work in the mornings because I know Victor's been working, a lot of horses over there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big, good-looking gray gelding, kind of a leggy thing, kind of a long horse. I remember his mother, Win One. She was a nice, nice mare. And on your 2-horse, I look at that and she's had a start, or he's had a start, rather. I'm sorry. And the breaking slow part of it does bother me for the simple fact as they're going 4.5 furlongs. And you just cannot afford, not unless your ton's the best, you can't afford to get left. And that does, even though he's got a race under his belt, that does bother me.
What hole is that last race from, Mike? The 2-horse was in the 3-hole?
He had post position number 3, yes.
Okay. I look at it this way, too. How many were in this field? We had 7?
Yes.
Now, at Churchill, they don't just bring the horses into the gate mm-hmm. and let them calm down, and then they all go. The horses that are already in, they're waiting around and all that. Once that last horse goes in, that thing goes off quick.
Yeah, and here too, on this in particular field of horses here, you're looking at 2-year-olds. And a lot of these racetracks will load 2 at a time. They'll work inside, outside. They'll go 1-7, let's say, 2-6, 3-5, and then the 4 will be the last horse to load. You're looking at a 7-horse field. If they loaded double like that,
mm-hmm.
he was one of the last ones to load.
He was one of the last ones.
Yeah, because the 3-horse would be, probably next to last to load. But you just don't know. I didn't see the race. I know Trainer Childress, evidently he had another one in there because if you look at the odds, he went off at 21-1, and it says a little, it got that little E there, so it was part of an entry. And his owner, Lois McCroskey, I think they bred this horse. I'm pretty sure they had the other part of the entry as well. I don't know. I mean, I just don't like when horses get young horses gets left.
Right, right. I could see that. And I use that for my productive side of saying, well, it had an excuse. That's
and you can also look up there too, John. Oh, that horse ran on June the 8th at Churchill of this year. Now, I'm not saying he hasn't been back to the gate, but he worked June the 20th, 5/8 of a mile, 103, breezing from the pole. So they don't have a gate drill showing. So that is another question mark.
Hmm. Okay, that's great. That's great information right there, Mike. So we had the 1 and 2. We had that covered. And my third place horse went to the 5 here, Kingsbury Dream. And Kingsbury Dream, we had, let's see what I see on this one here. We had, I like the works here. Mm-hmm. June 19th looks solid, 1 out of 6. And do you... When first-time starters, Mike, what do you like to work? Do you like to work what length do you – I mean, do you progress or keep the horse at the same length on the breezes?
You know, that's a very good question, and I wish I had the answer to your question. But there's a trainer at Fairmont Park my wife's worked for 35 years. His name is Jerry Hammond. He has never, ever worked a horse over a half mile.
Okay.
Never. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just according to the trainer. You see a lot of trainers, like with babies, they'll breeze them, you know, a quarter mile or even an eighth of a mile. You know, they have their shins are still not developed usually when they're two-year-old, and you've heard the term shin bucking.
Sure.
They want to try to stay away from that, so you put a lot of miles in them, and then you gradually give them little speed drills. Usually, like, you know, with Jerry, I know he'll breeze him up the lane a little bit at first, and then he'll go to his half-mile drills. And if you look at it like Kingsbury Dream here for Jim Childers, you know, he's showing half-mile works, 3/8 mile, half-mile, 3/8 mile.
Yeah, why is that? He goes to 3 furlong, then he goes to 4 furlong, then he goes back to 3 furlong, and he finishes out with the 4 furlong.
Yeah, and a lot of trainers you see breeze a lot of bullets, you know, best out of 16 or whatever, and then you see a lot of trainers that breeze slow, and
right.
A lot of the handicappers, they look and say, well, what's these horses, how, you know, 16 out of 16, man, that horse must not be very fast. If you don't know the trainer, you don't know if that's a good work or
not,
because they want what they want, and you know, different people train differently.
Right. And that's funny you say that, because our horse is about to get out on the track. We've been breezing it, and mm-hmm. Santiago's been on the horse. And Tommy goes, well, I'll tell you what, I almost had a heart attack when Santiago worked it really hard. I didn't want that.
Right.
I mean, that he's one of those type of trainers that I just want the horse to just go with the flow and just don't work it or anything like that. Let the horse do everything.
Yeah.
And twice now it ran on the breeze and scored 102 and 102.
Mm-hmm.
So that shows us that he's back together again. He's not looking like fell off the map on one. I mean, this is like
didn't he have a half mile drill here a few starts back
at
47?
And I think
that was Balon that worked him that day.
Okay, that was Balon.
Yeah, and here's there's another difference. You've got difference of trainers and how they like to do things, and if the trainer doesn't tell the jock, hey, let's go out there and work a half mile in 50, okay? Let's use that for an example.
Okay.
If you tell Victor Santiago to go out and work this horse a half mile, he's going to work 50-51, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't work horses fast, not unless he's asked to. If you tell, let's say, Balon or Molina or somebody else the same thing, go out and work this horse a half, they might feel more comfortable working horses a little faster. Victor... He learned everything in New York and New Jersey, and most of them trainers, you don't see a lot of fast drills by them, but they start off slow, and every eighth mile they pick it up just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Here, a lot of times they want them working fast. You just don't know. It's according to who you're working horses for.
Right, right. I know when I look at the Hellman horses,
mm-hmm.
on the breezes and all that, they're mediocre.
Always
to slow.
Mediocre to yeah. slow. Always.
And
Leroy doesn't want horses working
no,
fast.
No, not at all. So the Hellman camp believes in keeping everything down.
And then you've got trainers like Pompel, McCary, you know, Steve Manley's horses. They usually work pretty quick.
Yeah.
But I know Robert Pompel, he's got his trainer's license now. Them horses, they usually work fast. You know, they
and
work
Becker does too.
Becker's some, and it's just according to Scotty works
on the preference of the horse.
Preference of the horse and the how quick a race is coming up.
I see.
I remember when I had Hernandez here. You know, I don't pay no attention to Scotty's horses. I've worked horses for him for like 5 years now. In the mornings when he works horses, you know, Raphael would come back and tell me, he said, hey, he'll probably enter him today or tomorrow. And he was right, because he knew, according to that work, what Scotty was probably going to do, where he was headed with the horse as far a race coming up quick.
Wow.
And, you know, they've got their own patterns.
Right. Well, that's interesting. All right. We covered a lot out of this race, too, I'll tell you that. Race number three here, we got a claiming 4,000 going 6 furlongs. And what do we have on this one, Mike?
This is the third race, correct? Yeah. The third fillies race. And mares non-winners of 3 for $4,000 going 6 furlongs. I went a little off base here. I went with the outs or the 6 horse, Twirling Millie. For some reason, I don't know why. You know, she's dropping in from 10, 3 life from a Nebraska track, and she'd been running at Will Rogers Downs. Her last four races actually looked pretty good. Or I'm sorry, not her last race. She ran fourth, got beat 8 lengths, but that was for 10,000. And then she came out of a state bred race before that, an Oklahoma state bred race. Run third, got beat 9 lengths in an allowance race.
And that was going a mile, though.
That was going a mile, but that's what I like about it. That's the reason I'm picking this horse on top. For the simple fact, I think she's going to be really ready. And coming from the track that she's come from in Nebraska, it's a deep track, and I think she's going to be real ready for this. And going 6.5 at that last at that last race, I think she's going to be ready to go. And Durham's due for a winner. I look for this filly to be real tough. I used her on top of the one, Royals Return. I just don't like the rail going 6 furlongs. I just, even though she won off Elise her last start, the Infinitive Horse runs second, which just won Tuesday, which makes her look even better. I just don't know if she's going to have enough to contend with the 6 horse. And for third, I went with number 2, and I'd have to change this horse's name if I owned it, Low Tire.
Yeah, how could you name a horse Low Tire?
I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. Bob Starr out of, what in the heck is that? How do you read that? That screen's blurry.
Keeping your tires. That's what it is. Keeping your tires.
Keep air in your tires. Isn't it?
Keep air in
your tires. Well, yeah. By any means, I just went with her for third.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a crazy name. And you know what? That's the type of stuff that keeping your tires or whatever the hell that is. I mean, we could ask that question.
You know what?
Our Ellis guy.
I wonder if South River Ranch named this. This sounds like maybe trainer Nance might. You know Mike. He might have named this horse himself. It sounds like one of Mike's.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy is funny, isn't he?
He's won, I think it was like 225 stake races in his career.
Mike Nance?
Yes.
Wow, man.
He's
one of the nicest guys, too. One of the nicest guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a funny guy, and he's a good guy with it, you know. And I've seen him at the track so many times. And, you know, whenever I see him, he's always got a laugh with him or a smile with him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great guy.
You know, back in 2006, Tommy Pompel won the leading rider at Hoosier Park, and there was 11 stake races there that year.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Nance won 8 of them.
Jesus Christ, you're
and
kidding.
Out of them 8, I'd have to really look back. I would say over half of them races, he run first and second in.
Huh.
With entries.
Wow.
So he's won a lot of stake races and done very, very well and been with this owner for, I don't know, 25, 30 years anyway.
Yeah, and yeah, you know what? He's not having a bad meet at all. I know he'll pick it up here. He's at 12% clip right now. But he'll give you a good ride. I mean, this guy will give you.
And watch him with first-time starters.
Yeah.
Watch this guy with first-time starters.
Him and Essam Price are really good with young horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, on this race here, let's see what I went with. Race number three, I've got this is race number three, right?
Yes.
I went with the six on top, Twirling Millie. And I just figure, you know what, she's seen tougher. Has seen tougher, so I'm buying into that one. I went with one Royal Return, and that's Santiago. I just think that this horse, if it gets out, you know what? The mentality on this one, and Santiago is going to carry this mentality here, is I'm going from gate to wire. I'm not even going to look back. I'm going to give it everything he's got in the tank and see how far it can take me. And then I went with the four. I went with Taste of Raj, and that's Bill B. Hughes, 5-1. Well put together. Last start can, make a late rally. I look at this horse coming from the outside. If this Santiago horse puts up gets some resistance here from the six and they duke it out, I think something may falter there to where this four can sneak in there. So that's what I got there. And you're low tire. I got that horse being fifth. I got you're my favorite to be in my fourth spot there.
Okay.
All right. So let's move on to fourth race. Fourth race is a 1 mile claiming 3,200. And I went – let's start with me on this one so I can get this off the screen. I went with the five Dancing High, and that is Santiago Hellman. Last race, problems at start, finds old jockey today. I think this is a big positive set for this horse. When you find your old jockey again, I think they have the right chemistry.
Right.
And you may see something here. I like the five. I like the seven here, Dre Moore. Melina Randazzo going off at 5-2. It can be dangerous with the front speed. I mean, here's another horse like the last race. If the five doesn't do anything here, I think the seven can run off here and steal this race. But you know what? 5-2, you're not really stealing anything. You're the odds on favored here. I'm going with the six horse or the five horse on top here at 6-1. And my third place horse here is Classical Sky, and that's Bilby Mosier, 6-1. We'll be passing tired. Foes late makes it close. That's what I got. And let me get this off the screen here, Mike, and then you can give us your handicapping on this one.
All right. Well, I went a little bit different. Not a lot, but a little bit. I went with the outside Dre Moore, Teddy Randazzo, Juan Molina Jr. This filly's getting ready. She runs second, her first start out, going a mile. Come up just a little bit short to a horse of Eddie Essam Price's, would not mind. She outrun the six or the one horse in here, Beautiful Ruler, by six lengths in that start. I think this filly is sitting in a perfect spot in here.
You know what I didn't like about this one? I read between the lines. Mm-hmm. Last year, this is the second start on this horse for 2017. Now you look at 2016; they didn't want to lose this horse. They had it in starter. They had an optional claimer. And they had a starter allowance or starter optional claimer on. I mean, four or five races down since 2016, in the last races, they didn't want to lose this horse. Now, all of a sudden, they put it in this year, July 10th, they put this horse in the claiming 3,200, and that's bottom barrel right now. And you're looking at a horse that ran, I mean, It ran on the breezes. It looked tough. 1 out of 9. It just seemed like it should have put away that field last time out. It should have done it.
Yeah. Well, I look at it a little bit differently. This mare is 11 years old. She's won 19 races in her life. 19 for 82 with 24 seconds and 13 thirds. If it unfolds the way it looks to be on paper, she's not going to be in front, because if Beautiful Ruler breaks from the rail and breaks sharply, she'll be sitting out there on the front end. pretty comfortably, it looks like to me. I think Molina's just going to sit back second or third, bide his time, and when they get ready to turn for home, I think he turns her loose. I think she wins for fun. I just think she's that
really?
Much better in this field.
Wins for fun, folks. You can't ignore that.
And then
that's race number four here, and that's Draymore, the seven horse. Mike's prediction, wins for fun.
For second, I use Dancing High, Hellman, Santiago, and for third, I look for Beautiful Ruler to hang on for third place money. And for fourth, I threw in Classical Sky. She's not done nothing wrong all year, and I think she'll be running late at the end.
All right. We'll see. We'll see on this one because we both went a little different here, and you're pretty confident with this one.
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Race number five here. We got a 1 mile claiming 3,200. And the very first horse I see is Nafer's Best. Always the usual suspect there, huh?
You always got to beat him. Yeah. That's for sure, because he comes to work every time.
What do you got on this one?
I went with the newcomer, the four-horse man of quality. Trainer Hellman hooks up with Victor Bailon. This horse is coming from Will Rogers Downs. He's run at Oaklawn Park as recent as this year. He looks to me to be the class of the field, and if the five and the two both start in this race, you're going to see an absolute torrid speed battle on the front end.
Yeah, look at the five. On form here, folks, we're looking at a horse here that likes to open up, and this is the way this horse runs. When this horse has won, it's taken to the front with its ears back and hasn't looked back.
Right. And two starts ago, these two horses was entered together, and the Susan's Wrap horse scratched, re-entered 2 days later, and ran in a race. If you scroll down to the two, you'll see where his last race, look at his form.
Right.
In front by two, in front by four, in front by six, and win by
seven. Something's got to give, Mike.
These two horses, if they run together, they're going to kill each other off on the front end. They're going to fade away to nothing.
I think the one will join the pack, too. I think
You know what? Lopez, this horse here, I know this horse real well. Even though he's coming off early speed and sprints, he's a puppy dog to ride. He can grab a hold of him, take him back off the speed. He's not going to be on the front end.
Okay.
He's going to get a good trip. But I just think the man of quality horse, the four horse, is the best horse in the race. I used Nafir's Best for second, and I went with another closer, a Hot Walker, for third, because I'm going to throw Paris Pike and Susan's Wrap out for the simple fact that if they hook up in a speed duel, they're going to
kill each other.
If one of them scratched, though, like I said on a horse a couple weeks ago, if one of these two horses scratch, the one that's left in the race will be awful hard to outrun.
Huh. Well, now on this race here, I went with Man of Quality, and that's exactly what I was looking at here, Mike. I definitely thought that the speed is going to be the casualty here, and you're looking at a stalker. This Man of Quality, and I know how Hellman runs him too. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like to go out front.
Right.
How he emphasizes on the breezes, I think it plays
it
a big role on
yes.
the races as well. And you're going to have this horse sit 3-4 back and just watch those two just bash each other in the head, and this horse is going to come flying from the outside here. I like Man of Quality. I like the three horse here. Jack and John is my second favorite. Again, I'm looking at a closer to finish this one off. And that's the one horse, Nafer's Best. That's what I got as my top three there.
All right.
Let's move on to race number six. Number six. And, Mike, what do we have here? It's allowance optional claiming 4,000 going 6 furlongs.
Yeah, we got some Illinois fillies in here. It looks like a pretty good bunch of mares, actually. Pretty competitive field. I went with a four-horse Arctic Vortex. Trainer Manley's brought her down to compete here at Fairmont Park. She's been racing up north in Chicago. Had her last start here. Run a respectful third, first start over the racetrack for the year. Elizabeth's Fever won. Maybe Suspect was second. This mare hesitated just a little bit and checked at the 5/16 pole. He gets Victor Bailon this trip. I just look for this mare to run big in here. A little easier competition. and I think she gets the job done. And for second, I went with the three, My Star Bird, Eddie Essen Price, James Bilby. And for third, I went with number seven, Life is a Ride, another Eddie Essen Price. I'm just going with the second and third horse. I could have very easily flip-flop them, but Bilby is his first call rider. He opted to go with the three, My Star Bird, and for that, I'm going to give her the edge for second.
Well, on this race right here, I agree with you. I took Arctic Vortex as my my top pick, and you know what? It's hard not to. I mean, look at what the horse has done in resume. It's running a lot better races than this, so I'm buying into Arctic Vortex, and it's again coming from a strong camp. What's going on with Manly? Well, right now he's only chalked up two wins. He's got the public's backing on each one of his horses. Are we looking at the Manly from the past, or what's going on here? Why can't this guy get on the map now?
Well, right now Steve's doing really well at Arlington Park. I think he's like the third leading trainer up there. If you look at, well, this horse here in particular, you know, she's run once at Arlington Park. Didn't fare well up there. He's got a lot of poly track horses, and he's got his better ones up there and doing very good. Some of these horses, you know, hasn't run that much this year. This in particular filly here, she's run eight times. She has no excuse here at all. She should handle this bunch. Some of his other ones are older horses, and like the Western Country horse, he's getting old, and he's right. Not run none of his better horses, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Okay, so I got I'm giving Steve the play here. I'm giving the four horse the nod, Arctic Vortex, and then I'm going with the three horse, My Star Bird. My Star Bird looks like a horse that likes to come from behind. The racing, though, I'll be honest with you, it's dropped down from claiming from allowance 10,000 last year, and in 2015, and now we're looking at a horse that's running in the low end here, 3,200. Well, it ran a 3,200 condition without any restrictions on that one. But I'm kind of iffy on that one. The horse I like here a little bit more, and this is the number five horse. I like the five horse here at 8-1, Lake Snow. You're looking at a good number last time out. It had a hard trip last time out, too. A jostle start, four wide, and the horse still looked like it was having a nice effort out of it.
Yeah, she finished up real strong, too.
And we're looking at an allowance optional horse there. I don't see why not. I mean, the horse has run open all his life practically in 16 and 7 in 2017. I kind of see this horse making a nice move here at 8-1, folks. You may want to put a couple bucks on this one and don't let it slip by.
Right. I agree. She's going to be live in here. And, you know, I'm looking back at this race too, John, just for one moment. I picked My Star Bird for second, and I just noticed something up on the sheet that I don't really pay a lot of attention to normally, but I did see it and it caught my eye. My Star Bird, Eddie Essen Price, and he also has Life as a Ride in this race. And I'm going to flip-flop them back. I'm going to use Life as a Ride for second. And here's the reason
is that, Mike?
The seven.
Oh, the seven.
And I'm going to move the three horse down to third. I was going by the Bilby's choice here. And if you look at these two horses, Eddie's wife, Shelley, owns Life as a Ride. And okay. if you scroll up to My Star Bird, the three horse, that horse is owned by our old-time governor, Jim Edgar, and Martin Coleman. And probably, knowing Eddie the way I do, Bilby's been riding both horses. Bilby was going to satisfy the owner, put his rider back on the horse. Therefore, you know, that owner's, you know, he pays Eddie to do the daily work and everything. He wasn't going to take a winning jockey off of an owner's horse. He opted to take the winning jock off his horse. And what I'm saying is Bilby maybe not had his choice here.
Okay.
Eddie's doing this probably for the owner, to keep the owner happy, and that's the way you're supposed to be.
I gotcha. Interesting. Interesting look, man.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I still didn't sell you on my Lake Snow, though.
I think she's going to be competitive in here, Jono, but the thing I don't like about this mare, this will be run on, what is it, July 1st. That'll be four starts in 33 days.
Yeah. And you know what? Dan,
I don't like that.
Dan likes to do that.
I'm not saying I don't like it, just not to like it, as far as handicapping. I think that's, you know, it's getting
hot now.
It's, you know, they get a little tired sometimes. But she might run through the TV screen. Who knows?
Yeah, but O'Halloran's notorious for that.
If they're ready, he's going to run them.
Yeah, he'll put the horse back in 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, and that's, you know, he owns them. He can do what he wants to do.
Right, right. But I like that horse, though. Going on to the seventh race here, we got an allowance optional claiming $10,000. And started off, Mike,
well,
6 furlong.
I think this is a real competitive race. It's $10,000 optional claiming, non-winners of two life. I think it's a pretty even match group. I'm going to go with the homeboy, the 6 horse, Sunny Summer and Becker and Santiago. They're hard to beat, and Scotty, I know, has the horse ready for second. I really like the horse on the rail, Audrey and Annie, but the only thing I don't like about it is she does have the rail. She's going to be forced to leave out of there, try to get position early. Sometimes that's that hinders the horse. She broke from the one hole last time. She broke pretty good. She broke in front, and then she was second by a head, fourth by three. That's telling me she got shuffled back, got a little traffic problem, and it could happen again.
And you know what, Mike? It's coming out of the same hole as it did last race.
Yes, and it could have the same trip. If you look, it said inside, weak and late. Now, did it weak and late because it just got tired? Or did it just get checked? And you just don't know because they don't pick up all the problems on them lines. And that's coming out of a real live race. If you look, Bits and Pieces won it for Tom Dorse. Sunny Summer, the horse I picked on top, beat her by 2.5 lengths, so Ice Attack's back in there for third. She was third last time. Very competitive. Any one of these three mares can win.
Right, right. And I was leaning towards Audrey and Annie till you brought that up. I think that's a great call on that. And I'm going to follow same suit here. I'm not gonna fight this 6 horse. I think the 6 horse will have enough. And you know what? Last 2 starts for the 6 horse has had problems, and yet it's still been competitive. I'm going with the 6 on top. You know what? I'll buy into the whole Ice Attack thing, too. So I like that horse for my second place, and I'll finish it off with Audrey. Audrey and Annie is my third place spot there.
There you go.
Why not? I mean, they faced each other. How much do you put into that, Mike, seeing past races and how they competed and with the black bold names of horses that has finished ahead of a horse?
A lot. I put a lot into it. A lot. Yeah. Not unless a horse have a trouble line.
Does that help you also when you're putting your jockey on a horse, looking at the fields? Do you look at
Absolutely.
Who's passed who up?
Absolutely. You know, you're always looking for the live horse. The problems that let's say that if you're a handicapper, and people, it's getting like this too a lot here. I've noticed in the last couple of weeks, there's a lot of money going on Santiago on horses that doesn't look on paper like they should,
right?
You know, should be a favorite or second, even an 8-to-1 shot, they should be 30-to-1. You know, put a lot into that when you're doing your handicapping too, because he's overbet,
right?
His horses are overbet, and I look at a lot of like this in particular race here, Bits and Pieces. If you look here, outrun Sunny Summer by a length, and then Bits and Pieces come right back, if I'm not mistaken.
Where is Bits and Pieces?
You don't go. You're Audrey and Annie.
Right.
Bits and Pieces came right back and went again. You know, she just won her maiden, come right back here and win this race. That's a very live race, and 3 of these mares are coming out of that race.
Right.
4 of them. Who's Essential is coming out of it, too, but I threw her out. I just don't like her in this spot. I think you can use that. I mean, you can use negative information to help you.
With the other horses,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I definitely see that. I definitely see that. Hey, folks, we've run out of time. Go to our race day at Fairmont Park, and that's our Facebook site. Leave any comment, message. We'll get to it. I mean, we've been popular all the way to the Middle East, man. There's people downloading our shows and checking us out. So it's become unreal. And check us out on Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, Podbeam. Just subscribe to our show. Have it on your phone. Listen to it anytime. And or you can just go to Fairmont Podcast or FairmontParkPodcast.com and just listen to all our episodes, or just that one in particular with that day of racing. So, right. You know, how wrong could you go?
And don't forget tomorrow, I think. See, tomorrow's Friday, right?
Right.
Don't forget to tune in to Arlington Park. Chris Amey's going to go for his 1,000th
at Arlington,
win.
Randy
at Arlington
Martinez.
Park.
So
at
don't
Arlington
leave.
Park, 1,000 victories. So yeah. Keep an eye on that and cheer Chris on. We wish him the
definitely.
Best of luck.
He's a friend of the show.
That's right.
We'll definitely have him on. If he does it, let's bring him on Thursday.
All right. Let's see if we can get him.
Yeah, definitely. All right, my friends from Jono and Mike, we're out of here. Good luck. Cash those winning tickets.
There's a perfect time when you're tempted.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.